You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you're a Disney Plus subscriber and you're watching The Mandalorian, Jack and I have a podcast for you.
Every week, we'll discuss the latest episode of The Mandalorian and talk about other great content and maybe some not so great content on Disney Plus as well.
As two lifelong Star Wars fans, we have a ton of fun geeking out over all the little details of the show, and we want you to join us every Monday.
So search for Disney Plus Reviews. That's Disney P-L-U-S Reviews. Hey, Phil, how about that Baby Yoda? Baby Yoda says, what's a podcast?
What Else with Corey Mann from the Studio DNA Podcast Network. Hit the follow or subscribe button so you never miss an episode on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Google Play. Feel free to leave some feedback, write a review, or tell a friend about What Else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network.
Stephen Stanley.
Hey, how's it going?
Stephen, thanks for being my guest. First and foremost, I finally get to meet you via Zoom. I'm a big fan of your voice and your work, so thank you for a few moments.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
I want to get the story right, though. I'm all about origin stories. Is it McDonough, Georgia, or Mansfield, Georgia, where it all begins?
Yeah, so where I live currently is Mansfield, with my wife and two dogs and baby on the way. But I grew up in McDonough as a child.
Tell me about Stone Mountain Park.
Stone Mountain Park. If you're from Georgia, you go there once a year and you see the fireworks and the laser show. And if you're in good shape, you climb it and you go to the top. And if you're not in good shape, you ride the trolley up, up to the top. And it is actually really beautiful up top. We've done like church services and stuff up there, and it's been really cool. But yeah, it's beautiful. You should come.
The last time you went up there, was it via sitting or was it climbing?
It was unfortunately climbing.
Mansfield, Georgia, population 442. If I'm going to come hang out with you for the day, are we going to go to Rooster's Drive-In?
Wow. No, we are not going to go to Rooster's Drive-In. Because there's a new restaurant, and oh my gosh, there's a brand new restaurant. That's how new it is I forgot the name, but it is the best. They have this like shrimp and grits, if you like shrimp or grits, and it is the best. So that's where I would take you.
Okay.
Now we can make an appearance at Roosters if you want to.
I find that I learn a lot from my guest when I ask this question. So if you don't mind, who's mom and dad?
My mom is a school teacher. And she's the best. She was my school teacher because I was homeschooled, number one in my class. My dad is a pastor. He's my hero. Love my dad.
Have you always known Dad as a pastor? Has he always done that since your arrival on the planet?
Yes. When I was in like elementary school and born, he was a youth pastor. And then when I turned 13, he became senior pastor. So yeah, he's always been a pastor.
Mom homeschooled you. What's your big takeaway from your schooling with Mom? What's the one big thing she harped on that's still relevant and swirls in your mind today?
You are not ever going to speak Spanish. I'm just kidding. She didn't say that. She taught me a lot of what I know musically. She was sort of the start of that. So I learned a lot of music in being homeschooled.
How about Dad? You've watched him at the pulpit. What do you remember him saying the most?
I do have this quote. My dad, he said this a couple times, but he didn't say it all the time, but it meant a lot. He said, it's the small things that make you great. That's what he said that a few times.
So what kind of music did Mom and Dad play in the house while you were growing up? What did your ear first catch?
My dad is 70s, 80s, anything. So mostly rock. Lots of Bon Jovi, lots of Journey, but also things like Lionel Richie. I heard that a lot. Bee Gees. My dad, he loves like Aerosmith, Led Zeppelin, AC/DC. Not your average pastor music, you know?
I just became best friends with your dad.
So he's 70s, 80s. All the way through. My mom's a little more mysterious. She likes some things and she doesn't. So I'm still kind of figuring her out with her musical taste.
Was there a moment, a song or a performance, a singer that you can recollect that you went, okay, I want to do that, or I want to try that, I want to play that?
Nickelback Photograph. No, I'm just kidding. No Nickelback.
This conversation is over. Mine growing up was Jump by Van Halen. When I was told you're gonna do piano lessons, and then when I was forced to play the trumpet, there was like a Chuck Mangione song that my dad had the record for, and I wanted to learn that particular song. So that's why I was curious if you had one where you're like, if we're gonna do this thing, I want to learn that.
Meant to Live, Switchfoot. I would say that Switchfoot was a game changer for me. Definitely.
You had a jet ski accident when you were 9, and I've never heard you actually talk about the accident. May I ask about that? Unless that's a, hey, I don't want to talk about it.
Hey, I don't want to talk about it now. No, so the jet ski thing is interesting because I don't know what happened. I blacked out. Basically, I was at a friend's house on like a private lake, and what they saw is that I was on the jet ski, and the jet ski flipped up in the air. My friend's dad dove in and got me out of the water. He was only like 50 yards away. They life flight. A helicopter came and got me. The theory is maybe I hit my head on the water really hard, or maybe I hit my ear sort of on the jet ski or itself or a tree, or I don't know. So the cochlea organ in my ear, that's why I can't hear. It's that split in half. So, yeah, it's a mystery. That's why I haven't said, because I don't know.
Is there technology that could repair that, or is that it is what it is?
There's a few, like, cochlea implant surgeries that exist now. I mean, and they're also, like, printing organs, I think, or something. Yeah, you know, there's probably something out there.
Does that interest you at all, or are you like, you know what, I'm so used to it now, what's the point?
Well, I've actually asked doctors, I'm like, if my ear suddenly came back, you know, I'm a singer, like I play music, what would happen? And they're like, well, your brain would actually adjust. So like if you hold one eye, you know, closed, and you leave another eye open for a long period of time, and then you take it off, it takes your brain to adjust to having both eyes again. So he said it would just take a few weeks of getting used to. But I've heard that the surgery, the audio that you would hear is sort of like Daffy Duck. Like it's not quite there yet. I know there's lots of, you know, there's lots of deaf people sprouting up everywhere that need, you know, surgery like this. So we'll see. We'll see what happens in the future.
Permission to just oogle over you and compliment you. You ready? You have such a, I was trying to describe it to myself on my way in this morning, passionate, heavy, bold style voice. I mean, it's just so powerful and controlled, and yet you feel like you're on the edge of something, you know, something metallic is about to happen. Was there somebody that you emulated, or have you worked on that for a while to get where you're at right now?
Yeah, well, I used to, it was really bad. I used to imitate Bear Reinhart from Need to Breathe. Like, I used to, like, literally do an imitation of him, like, when I would sing.
We're going to need to hear that.
I don't know if I can do it now. He and Kurt Cobain were huge, like, influences for, like, just their voice. You know, Kurt Cobain, I mean, it was just this growl, and it was, every word was just, like, you knew he meant it. I don't know why. I could just feel passion from him. And then Bear, I just loved his, like, that the soulfulness, too, and the growl as well. I never wanted to sing sort of like a pop singer. I like Bieber, but I just, that's just not how my voice was ever going to sound. So I went the other way. It sounded like I drank diesel fuel or something and started singing. So.
You remember the first time you got up in front of a group of people and sang in front of them?
Yeah. I was 13, and my church had like children's church where it was just for kids. And that was the first time I got up in front of people and sang. And I did it every Sunday. And the more I did it, the more the children would boo me. I'm not lying. But I've actually sang at a couple of their weddings. Like, they're getting married now, but they used to boo me when I used to sing at children's church.
What were the songs you were singing back then when you were 13?
I remember the first one I sang was Blessed Be Your Name, Matt Redman, I think. We did all kinds of stuff. Like Steve Fee. We did a lot of Steve Fee. But yeah, all over the place though.
When did you turn the corner and go, you know what? I'm going to write a song and I'm going to perform that song for the kids to boo.
I think it was about that same age. I was 13, 14. And yeah, so I wrote a song with my dad called Jesus, You Are Mine. That was the first song.
Oh, you remember it?
I remember it. His first song.
I'd like to hear.
No, I will not sing it.
Yes, your impression of Bear singing that song right now on this podcast.
Oh man, people will stop listening immediately.
So when do you segue into this is what I want to do? Not just Sunday in front of the kiddos, but I wanna make a run at this thing, a career out of this thing.
Yeah, I sort of knew that. I wanted to do something in music. I thought maybe for a while I'd be a worship leader at a church. And that's what I was doing. By the time I was in high school, I was doing that at my dad's church. And then I moved away when I was 17 to the other side of Georgia and became a worship leader. That was not, I just quickly kind of figured out that was not what I think God wanted me to do. Excuse me. Sorry. But yeah, I figured out that that's kind of what God doesn't want me to do. I started writing songs, just like a lot of songs, at about 17, 18 years old. And I was like, I love writing songs. That's what I really love to do. And I just decided I didn't have any connections really. I had a few people that were into bands, like, you know, one of my dad's good friends was guitar player for Third Day and stuff. So a little bit of that, but I was just like, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to learn how to record. I'm going to learn how to write songs. And then I had a really great guy kind of take me under his wing and really show me the ropes of writing songs and producing and putting together a live concert and all that stuff. But it was just kind of this natural process.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise. Having fun in the sun or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
I was just like, I love doing this. This is what I want to do with my life. And I just started doing it.
Were you looking at anybody else's style of writing? This is how they do it. Let me find myself and my style within that.
Sure. Lots of people. I love a lot of what Coldplay. I like some of their writing, for sure.
When you try your best, but you don't succeed. And you get what you want, but not what you need. And you feel so tired that you can't sleep. Stuck in me.
I also thought around the time when I was really writing songs, the Hillsong record Empires had come out. And I really loved that record and the writing style of that. Also, John Foreman, he was always a huge influence on me. And I think you could listen to a John Foreman song and not really know what it means. But I loved what, you know, the way he wrote. And there was a bunch of people. Foo Fighters was a big one. I loved the way he wrote songs, the way Dave Grohl. Yeah, there's a lot of people, I think. I think I could list a list forever.
As I know, and you probably know this, when you want to become a musician, it doesn't pay the bills right out of the gate unless you're an absolute superstar, lightning in a bottle. So did you do anything else? Did you have any other jobs?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I did. My first job, I was a coach at a daycare center. So I would show up for like 3 hours and play games with the kids. And then I'd go home. And that was kind of nice, actually. But I did that for like a summer. And then I worked at a library. And that was probably the longest job I had other than, you know, that was sort of a side thing. I was really bad at it. I was the receptionist / book putter away. So I would put books away, you know, the Dewey Decimal System and all that.
I think that's actually called a librarian.
A library. Is that what that's called?
I think it is.
They told me you are not a librarian.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah, they're like, you can't call yourself that. And I was like, fine, I'll just, you know. So I had this boss who was very interesting. I'd worked there for about 4 months. He had never said a word to me, ever. Never spoken to me. He pulls me into his office and he says, Steven, if you keep doing what you're doing, I'm going to fire you. I was like, what? I was like, you haven't talked to me like this entire time. Are you going to fire me? He's like, yes, you are ruining this library. I was like, oh my gosh. You know, and he's like, you put some books away incorrectly, which to his defense, like that is a big thing. Like if you put books away wrong, it ruins the whole system and it can be bad. But I was like, I'm so sorry. But yeah, that was the most scared I've ever been and the most blunt person I've ever come into contact with.
Let's talk about social media. I feel like you launched in the heart of this pandemic, which, oh, what a head scratcher for an artist. On our end, we're used to visits and this, that, that, and yeah. This. And it's like, nope, you get to stay home when your song comes out. But I see you on TikTok and Instagram. And man, I think I'm having a good day when I get 213 views of me doing something goofy. I looked just before this interview and I think I saw one of your performances that had 9 million views. Which, in math, that is the population of Chicago times 2.
Wow.
You're welcome.
Yeah, hey, that's great.
Oh, pros and cons. Tell me about that experience.
Yeah, this is a great question. So a lot of people think I started there. I didn't. I got signed in January 2020. Then the pandemic hit. And then like March, April 2020, I started with making videos on TikTok and everything. Yeah, it was very exciting at first. I never put out a song. So making those covers and like putting those out was like my outlet to be able to release music just kind of on my own without, you know, because with the label, it's a long process. You know, we're working, we're writing songs and everything. So, and then pandemic, all that pretty much shuts down other than a couple Zoom writes. You're really not in the studio, you know, at least for that first little while, we weren't really making music. So yeah, it was this great outlet. Every Thursday I'd put out a cover. And then yeah, that one with 9 million views was sort of like the peak of that little era of when I was making those covers. I had a lot of fun. The whole relationship, and what I think a lot of people are going through in other ways too with social media, is that it's very out of your control, and it's easy to compare yourself to other people. Even with, if you do have a video that goes crazy and has millions of views and stuff, you're still comparing it. You're still like, what's next? You know, I want 10 million views now, or I want that, or they've got that thing, you know? So it's like, I learned at every level, you're still comparing yourself. I'd say it's even worse, the amount that you're comparing yourself to people, like sort of the more success you get on a social media platform.
So how do you combat that?
You know, I think I'm still struggling with this. You know, it's still, it's not like a, hey, we're all good now, but it's a lot of breaks. I'll take a week and a half break, 2 weeks, maybe just a couple days, put my phone in the cabinet, you know, spend time with my lady. And especially if there's nothing going on, there's no song release, there's nothing I really need to be doing on social media, because it is part of my job. You know, I understand that in this day and age, but if there's nothing going on, take a break, read your Bible. You know, that's that's a great way to renew your mind. Yeah, I think it's still, there's still figuring things out, and it can really affect your mental health if you let it. And so I've learned to see those moments when I know that it's like, oh, my mental health is deteriorating right now. Having a couple more followers today on because of a post is not worth my mental health today. So I need to put it down.
Have you ever heard from anyone of upper level awesome saying, hey, great cover, that you were like, wow, I recognize that name?
Yes. Yeah. There was Third Eye Blind.
I wish you would step out from that ledge, my friend.
3 Days Grace. Lots of threes. Yeah, it was very, and then in public too, like I got to meet Bear Reinhardt, and he complimented me, which was the craziest day ever. And then another band, Colony House, they had seen a couple, and that was really fun to hang out with them. But yeah, so that's been pretty cool.
I would like to say my favorite one that I do go back to, because I'm a massive U2 fan, is your version of Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For is Very Nice.
I have climbed the highest mountain. I have run through the fields only to be with you. I have run, I have crawled, I have scaled these city walls.
This is one of my favorite songs of all time.
A couple of nerdy questions. What room are you filming that in? For some reason I have in my mind, it's the attic or some cool room in your house.
Most of them, yes, I'm in an attic.
Okay.
Yes, now I'm in a new place, in a new studio, but yeah, most of them in the attic.
Now this is super nerdy and you're going to roll your eyes. I don't understand what you're doing when you do this. I think I see that on every TikTok. You go... Is that like a self high five?
Well, when I, yeah, it's a cell phone. That's actually great. No, when I first started, I was just syncing the audio and the video. So it's clapping because I can see the waveform when I'm lining it up. And I used to edit in iMovie, and it was extremely hard to line up the audio without doing the clap. So I think when I made my first cover like that, I did the clap and I left the, I put the title of the cover like as soon as I clap, and then my name flashes really quickly. And I sent it to my A&R, and I sent it to Ed Cash from We the Kingdom because it was a cover of their song. It was Holy Water. It was like my first sort of cover. They were like, keep the clap, like do the clap all the time. I was like, okay, all right, I'll do it.
All right, my friend, my new friend, I appreciate this. And you can listen to Steven's music wherever it's streamed or sold. And Steven, you've been great. Thank you for your time, and have a great rest of the day. Hopefully we can shake hands sometime, okay?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Great all right,
to
buddy.
Meet you.
What Else with Corey Mann from the Studio DNA Podcast Network. Hit the follow or subscribe button so you never miss an episode on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Google Play. Feel free to leave some feedback, write a review, or tell a friend about What Else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.